If I stay up any later, I might as well just skip sleep altogether. Because, yeah, these nights have been kind of interesting. It's amazing. My energy levels have been just through the roof. I mean, they've just been so high and so strong. And I'm tired, but I'm not like exhausted and. You know, with the different things that are all kind of going on these days and on the horizon, I don't know, there's just an amazing energy, you know, that I feel like I have right now. Time just goes and I don't even realize that it's gone because I just enjoy, you know, the things that God is allowing me to put my hand to right now. And I see His hand and purpose in these things and the larger orchestration of His Spirit in the different work that He's allowing me to engage in right now. So, yeah, you know, I'm playing around with the setting on this recorder. I think I will eventually figure out what the best settings are for different situations. So, forgive me for some of the guinea pig experiments that need to go on, and yeah, if you guys hear an audio and you're like, oh, you know what, actually, that other one sounded a little better, let me know and I'll see if I can remember what the settings were. And hopefully eventually we'll find, you know, the right setup. Because, you know, one thing that's cool is that, you know, for one of the ways that we've kind of set up the site is we really wanted it to be accessible in countries that really don't have a very good bandwidth. For my brothers and sisters in Christ in the States that check in, love you guys, really love the internet when I'm over there and how fast it works and how easy it is to stream stuff. But most of the world doesn't have that kind of speed going for it, or if they do, they pay through the nose to have it. And so most places, you know, they've got something decent these days. I mean, proliferation of technology is getting good, but you know, we wanted the audios to be able to stream easily in most places with a halfway decent connection. I mean, you still got to wait a little bit if you got a dial up. But by and large, you know, most people can click in and just stream right away, and it usually the buffering can keep ahead of the audio stream, so you can go straight. And if you want to keep it, you can always download. So yeah, you know, that was kind of our initial setup, and you know, over time, kind of balancing and finding the right settings, you know, to kind of maximize the audio quality and minimize the sound. Like, you know, if you do a stereo recording and you put that out, well, yeah, it sounds nice, but it takes up two channels, which doubles the size, which doubles the size of the file and doubles the time that it takes to be able to buffer that. And, yeah, so it's just, you know, it's a judgment call. If you're doing music, of course, you want to have stereo and you want that versatility. But if you're doing voice, you just cut it down to mono right away. So like that, you know, little small things that you do, the frequencies that you use. We use as a file, when we save these after we're done cutting and compressing and all of those different things, we save them as an MP3. Settings wise, we'd use a 32K KPS KPM 32K bit rate, and then 22050 hertz for, and it's as a mono file. So that's kind of the voice settings that we use, and those seem to work pretty good. Zeph kind of gave us some pointers on, you know, what was sort of the optimal balance for sound and for voice. So it's, we've kind of gone with that. Early, I guess some of the earlier audios, some of the very first ones were all over the place as we were figuring that out with them. Because, you know, you can, just like people overbuy a car or overbuy a house or overdo a lot of things, you know, you can overdo the audios for what you need and what your purpose is. You know, I think, too, one thing that we wanted was to this to get out to the places that that needed it to be there, and, you know, to kind of ride that wave of internet access for a lot of places. So yeah, so I mean, you know, right now things are in a good way. I think the site seems to be set up pretty well, pretty functional. Daniel's been doing a lot to really put things in place where they can be as helpful and as useful and as streamlined as possible. So yeah. Excuse me. You know, so, I mean, feel free to make use of the stuff that's there. And now, with all these fun little share features that we have for social media, if you like something, you can share it, you know. So if you're not ashamed of us and what it is that we do and the things that we say, and if we're not your little secret that you hide, that you check into every now and then to feel better, and then, but you don't want anybody knowing that you check in here. So, no, if you don't mind standing with us, we don't mind standing with you, and you know, we'll be out there. But yeah, you know, an easy way to share a message with somebody too. You know, what I used to do is I used to just send people links to stuff and just be neutral. I'd just be like, you know, I just heard this. What do you think? You know, or I'd like to know what you think about whatever. Because usually people want, they're happy to tell you their opinions. They want to do that, in fact. And so it's a good way to see kind of where people are at, and also just a chance to give people something that they need to hear. Because, you know, ultimately our desire and our goal is that, you know, people would hear a clear witness, and for those that God has called, that they would turn and be saved. That being, you know, beyond that right path with Christ, who is the way, and be walking that out. So not in the traditional sense of the global church movements. No, nothing like that. So yeah, you know, we desire truth in the inward parts, and we desire that that those that are around us, those that walk with us, those that seek to be close to us, that they have a similar heart, similar commitment. So, you know, it's been good getting to know you guys out there. It's been encouraging. You guys have encouraged us, even as we may have encouraged you along this way, for those of you that interact with us, to know that you're out there as well. Because, you know, for the team, and, you know, the Faith Mix team, we're pretty small crew, but we we know the God that we serve, and we don't need much, you know, to do what it is that He's told us to do. As long as the commitment and the heart is there, God makes everything else fall into place. And but you know, at times, you know, you start feeling like sort of that Elijah syndrome, you know, gosh, am I, God, I'm the only one sort of thing. And you're not. I'm not. We're not. There are His in this world. In the world, not of the world, but they're out there. And, you know, that's one reason why I do really enjoy traveling. When God sends me out and God allows me to go. Because I meet the brothers and sisters as I cross to and fro in the earth. I meet them, you know, and God sends them to me, or He sends me to them, and we cross paths and we recognize each other almost right away. And without even having to say a word, you recognize a brother, you recognize a sister. There's just something in that person that witnesses to something in your spirit, even when you see them. And, you know, the Spirit of Christ draws, you know, and so there's always something about the people of God that make us different, that make us look different, that make us act different, that what shines through our soul is different than the darkness that the world is part of. And even on a natural level, people can see that. They can tell. They know. And it draws and it repulses at the same time. Yet another paradox. People are drawn to us, and at the same time, they are repulsed by us. They hate us. But, you know, that's all right. It is okay. Because we didn't come into this world to be liked. We didn't come into this world to win prom king or homecoming king or whatever the title is that people go after. No, that wasn't our objective in being here. You know, in fact, all of these titles, these prizes, these awards, the only reason that they have any significance or importance is because people buy into the illusion of them. They themselves give them meaning and importance, and by consent of the masses and propping that up among the masses, now it actually has value because people place value on it as a group. So for example, if the Academy Awards, if nobody cared, if nobody went, if nobody believed the advertising, if people just believed it was a sham, which it is, then it wouldn't have any power. You wouldn't have people killing themselves over that thing, you know, trying to become something, you know, in that circle. You know, like the Nobel Peace Prize. I mean, what a crock of zibul crap that turned out to be. So here's, you know, Mother Teresa. They give something like that to somebody like her to legitimize it. To you know, to now say, oh, look, well, somebody like Mother Teresa, with exemplary character and all of these other things, so, and then they ram through as many of their own just ne'er-do-wells, their own refuse on a spiritual level that they can, but guys that they owe, you know, they owe these guys something because they're part of their system. And to give them some credibility, which they lack, because their souls are lacking. So guys like Al Gore, guys like Obama. Obama, with 3 speeches, gets a Nobel Peace Prize. Al Gore, with his slideshow on global warming, which turned out to be, you got the 50-50 wrong at what global cooling. Is there a money-back guarantee on these things? Do any of these guys turn their their awards back in shame when they've been seen to be the charlatans that they are. No, they don't. They hold on to them. But you know, actually nobody cares anymore anyways. So, yeah, I mean, I guess there's some money there and people get a trip to Sweden, so, whatever. Yeah, it's interesting too, you know, somebody I know very well went to Stockholm and they were looking at the wall of all the people there in, at the place that they do this, and they asked them, they said, hey, there's no picture of Gandhi here. You mean that Gandhi didn't get a Nobel Peace Prize? Gandhi, basically the man that made India what it is today, liberated that nation from British colonial rule, set, you know, a billion people, you know, into an entirely different path that wouldn't have happened had he not taken the road and stance that he did, and doing it non-violently, doing it through peaceful protests. And you know what they told him, kind of shamefully, you know, they were actually kind of embarrassed that somebody caught them on this. And they said, you know, well, at the time that that they would have considered that, that there was very close relations with England, and they felt that if they would have given that to Gandhi, that it would have strained their political relationships with England. I mean, if there's any legitimacy in it at all, you can give it to him, you know, post-death, if you really wanted to. But it, again, just reiterates the point that it is political, that it is something that is given to people that they owe globally. And they just kind of have a smattering of people that actually have done something exemplary to give the rest of these charlatans credibility, which they don't have. Because, you know, the worlders don't have, they can't, look, Obama's three speeches, you think he wrote those? Al Gore's slideshow, you think he put it together? No. these guys they don't put anything together. They wouldn't know what to do if they weren't told. It's a very sad person that cannot make a decision for themselves. It's a very incapable. I mean, what kind of a leader is a man that needs to get his marching orders from a teleprompter? You know, that's not. You know, that's a long ways from the leaders of the past that the world has known. A lot of even terrible leaders, you know, as far as kind of the kind of people and the kind of things that they did, but they still were leaders. They still had a backbone. They still had a spine. They still could make a decision. They still could go in a particular direction. You know, we don't have that in this day. You know, by and large, we've got a bunch of people that are that have been living sheltered lives, been protected by the world system that coddles them, and now coming into days of adversity, days of wrath, days where tough decisions need to be made and tough choices have to be made, they lack the ability to do so because they haven't been prepared. They haven't been prepared with that which is necessary. That which God prepares his people with, they don't have. You know, when God sends people out into the wilderness, he makes you strong as a result of that. You know, when you come out of the wilderness as such, when you come through that experience, you come to the other side, the only thing that's left is him and you, the hope of glory. All the other things have been burned off of you. Sure, stuff tries to come back occasionally here and there, but it's Him flowing through you. And in a situation like that, you're very strong. You're very capable. You're very ready for that which now is at hand. Whereas the worlders, they're not. They can't handle that which they face. And, you know, in the time that we're moving into, you know, that scripture we brought up recently, wealth is worthless in the day of wrath, but righteousness saves from death. Yeah, everything that they have, everything that they know, everything that they're about, it's not going to help them when they're now in a situation and their gods aren't there. Their advisors are at a loss for words. They can't run a scenario where they have a winning option and they're stuck. So, you know, that's their choice. They chose that. They chose that the day they rejected Christ. They chose to be without an answer, without a solution, without a way forward in the day that we would come into now. You know, I remember I was reading one of those kind of ancient wisdom books, and I think it was in the Apocrypha, actually. But one of the parables that was in there, it said something to the extent that a man that closes the last, like, 15 minutes of his life in agony and pain will forget a lifetime of bliss and pleasures and everything going his way. But basically to say, yeah, a very short window of time at the end of a person whose life has been completely off base. And just that short window, he will forget all that he had heaped upon himself in the days that had come before. All the vacations, all of the presents, all of the illicit relationships, all of the drugs, all of the good times and the parties and everything else. You'll forget that in a 15-minute, on the way out the door, miserable exit. So, yeah, it's choice. Whereas the people of God, we come through difficult times again and again, stronger as a result of it. So, we're in a good way, you guys. We really are. So, So, anyways, just a little bit of a late night hello, and I think I'm going to try to get some sleep. So, I love you guys, and I'll catch up with you again soon. All right, bye.